Jones, Sunnyside, Kooranbong, New South Wales, Australia. January 17, 1898. Dear Brother Jones, I can write you only a few lines this morning. I received a letter from Brother Leininger stating that he was in need of $400. He said that he had asked that some shares he owned be transferred to someone else, and he be given the money to pay debts he owed to outside parties, but that no one came to relieve him in his necessity. I think it would have been well for those who claim to believe the truth and to be followers of Christ to have long ago done their duty. They should never have allowed things to come to such a pass. They should have been moved by the same spirit that moved Job when he vindicated himself before his so-called comforters. He met the charges they heaped upon him with one statement: "The cause I knew not, I searched out." Job 29, verse 16. Had you, as Christians, followed the example of Job, you would not have left things to come as they did, obliging Brother Leininger to mortgage his place. You would have secured help for him. I have presented this case definitely before you, and wish to present the same to other responsible men. Relieve my mind at once, and place in Brother Leininger's hands the means that he should have. After I have drawn on his account so large a sum, about $1,400, he sends to me again for money. Why do you not, as men in responsible places, do something about this matter? Did not his money go into the cause? If you at the Pacific Press did not have so large a sum, someone had it to advance the cause in its necessity. Will you pass Brother Leininger by, compelling him to send to me as the only one who can help him? Will you, who are supposed to know the Word of God and your duty, like the priest and Levite, pass by on the other side? God help the poor, bruised, and wounded souls who have no one to whom to look for help. Brother Leininger says that he remembers me saying at one time that he needed a guardian, and I would be his guardian. Elder Daniels borrowed $1,200 from him to invest in some of his schemes and never paid him. I told him he would never pay him, and that it was not the right thing to do to use his money in such a way, without careful consideration. I told him that it was the Lord's money, that he must use it with care, and know that when it left his hands, it was to be rendered back to God, not to be squandered in the way in which Elder Daniels used money. I said, "Counsel with your brethren, counsel with me. I will be your guardian as to how to appropriate your means, but without counseling with me in anything, Brother Leininger now comes to me when he is in trouble, claiming me as his promised guardian to help him out of strait places. Here I am, trying to do to the utmost of my ability. This missionary field has not the resources that you have in America. But in the place of helping the cause in this destitute field, my hands are being tied to help destitute, distressed souls in America. I understand that resolutions had been made prohibiting our brethren in California to send their means out to help the mission unless they first consult the proper authorities in Oakland. As this is the law, will you not go a little further and say that all who are in distressed circumstances, who have helped the cause of God in its necessity in the past, shall in their suffering and need make known their wants to the publishing house, and that the office will help them, relieving their immediate distress by bringing the situation before the churches in California. Let some man get this burden upon him, and after reading the special directions given by God in regard to the brother that falleth into decay, become a doer of the word. Let not the cry of the children of God come up against you before the Lord. I am carrying a burden of no less than $14,000 to advance the cause in this mission. I am paying interest on thousands of dollars, and yet my brethren allow these poor souls to come to me. the Lord would be pleased to have you wake up to your own home missionary work. Do not, I beg of you, make it necessary for the Lord to remove your prosperity because you do not deal justly and mercifully with your brother. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart, nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy work, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 to 11. Whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 3, verse 17-18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19. Read Leviticus, chapters 24 and 25, 25 to 35. And if thy brother be waxed poor and fallen into decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. Verses 35 to 37. Who spoke this gracious word? It was Christ who spoke to Moses for the children of Israel, and these words come down along the line to our time. If we refuse to hear the word of the Lord, if we neglect our duty, will our prayers come up as sweet incense before God? I speak to you who are well acquainted with the law of God. Are you doers of the word? I do not address this to you, my brother, personally to do these things. You should unite with others in responsible positions in seeing that this work is done. If it is not done, the Lord will place this charge against his people. I now charge you to draw on my account for $400, after you have taken these things into consideration and investigated them, seeing if there is no other means of relief. Put this money in Brother Leininger's hands, and do not let him become discouraged. I write this because I am in earnest and in sorrow for our brother. In love.